All lines are now bridged.
Great, perfect. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Trusted Exchange Framework Task Force meeting. We will call the meeting to order, starting with roll call. For those members that are planning to join us on Wednesday the 14th, in addition to indicating your presence on today's call, can you also just provide a verbal yes or no if you are available and planning to attend on the 14th? Starting with Denise Webb.
Present and yes.
Okay. Arian Mallett?
I'm here and yes.
Okay. Carolyn Peterson? Maybe Carolyn's not on yet. Aaron Meary?
I'm present and yes, I intend.
Okay. John Kansky?
I'm here and I missed the other question.
Are you available on the 14th for the optional call?
I'll check and put it in the chat.
Cheryl Turney?
Cheryl Turney is present, and I am available on the 14th.
Okay. Sasha Termot?
Present and yes.
Okay. Steve Reedy?
Present and yes.
Cynthia Fisher?
This is Linda, her assistant. I'm dialing in on her behalf, and she unfortunately is not available on Wednesday.
Okay. Anil Jain?
I'm here, and yes.
Perfect. Kate Goodrich? Kate, not on. Andrew Truscott? Do you have Andy on? I know he said he may have some issues dialing in today. David McKelly?
Present and yes for Wednesday.
Okay. Mark Savage?
Here and yes on the 14th.
Perfect. And I do believe that both Noam Art and Grace will not be available to join us today. So with that, I will turn it back to Denise and Arian.
All right. Good morning or afternoon, as the case may be, depending on whether you're on the right side of the country or the wrong side of the country. We tried to line everything up to get the draft recommendations out either on Friday or over the weekend, but due to travel and the weekend schedules, we weren't able to get all of the reviews done, so apologies for that. I think we're going to start first by going, because I think everyone's fairly well prepped for the voting for how we think about the single on-ramp. I think we will first go to lining up the single on-ramp and then start reviewing the recommendations recommendation by recommendation. So if we can go to defining, actually, let's just go through in order because the first set of recommendations should get us through framing up the notion of single on-ramp. So
Are we looking at the Word document? Is that the, oh, I see.
Yeah, we're looking at the Word document. Follow along at home. Let's go to the next page. All right, so we first put together a set of overarching recommendations that didn't follow the narrative and timeline of the questions we were asked to respond to. The first of those overarching recommendations generally is a recommendation for clarity on policy goals. The first of those recommendations is the recommendation that ONC should clearly define policy goals, expresses clear statement of outcomes ONC wishes to or wants to enable or outcomes ONC wants to prevent. In areas where ONC believes defining or prescribing particular implementations of policies critical to national success, we recommend ONC first define the overall policy goals. So generally reflecting the frequent feedback, easy for me to say, from the task force that ONC in the TEF would often go to a detailed description of how without first describing the policy goals and the what that ONC intended to enable in ways that sometimes made it difficult for us to make alternative recommendations for policy enablement that met equivalent goals. I'm just going to pause there and see if there's any, if this recommendation makes sense to the task force, if there's any comments on the recommendation.
It made
I think
sense.
It's good. David says it's good.
I don't see any hands up. So without objection, yeah, go ahead.
Aaron, so this is not an objection, but just as I was reading this, I flashed that the converse is sometimes true as well, that there's some detailed discussion of why in principle, but lack of clarity or specificity about how. And I'm thinking in particular about individual access. So it's not meant to take
yeah.
away from what's written here, but it sometimes goes both ways.
We do, so we try in the recommendations in areas where we agree with the overall policy goal, but note that we don't have the enabling standards or policy recommendations. We do try to make those comments. So as we get to those areas, make sure that we've appropriately framed up any obstacles to achieve where the what is clear but the how isn't. Let's make sure that we've appropriately framed up those areas.
Okay.
Second recommendation is responding to, for example, some of the commentary that the TEF made very detailed recommendations in areas where there may be appropriate guidance otherwise. So as examples, there may well be appropriate guidance in NIST documentation where there is what may be duplicative documentation in the TEF. And so the general sense of the recommendation is in those areas, ONC would be better framed if ONC desires and believes that it's appropriate to make highly detailed recommendations, ONC would be better served by pointing to the NIST or appropriate or other documentation that provides the appropriate policy complaints. And I won't go through and read all of the recommendation, but that's the general sense of it. And we do note that in the end that a lot of the examples where ONC has pointed to very detailed recommendation, in later recommendations, we are recommending that many of those detailed recommendations would be more appropriately detailed at the RCE and enabling implementation guidance level.
This is Aaron. I agree.
David, I agree as well. I think some of this could fall under recommendation number one in a sense. In other words, if the policy goal is to achieve a certain level of cybersecurity, then specify what the policy is rather than recite the particular NIST recommendations.
You'll see in the second section that we generally make that recommendation as well. By the way, we haven't talked about process. We're going through what may be your first detailed read of this document in this meeting. I would highly recommend folks to do a detailed read. I did a day-long session in a hotel writing the 12 pages of this. Denise did a lovely job after she came back from Mexico of correcting many of my writing and drafting issues, but this could use many more sets of eyes on. So I'd highly encourage people, if they have editing comments, please read with review comments on and send us any of those editing comments. If you have substantive comments, I think it would be appropriate to send those via email so that we can review them in Wednesday's and Friday's call and try to craft appropriate language. But if you have areas where you want to suggest ways of making this language clearer, definitely would recommend that and would welcome that. All right.
Arian?
Yep.
Before you dive back in, one suggestion in the next draft is maybe number these so we can refer to them by number, just for linking.
I agree with you. There's a level of fighting with Microsoft Word that is sometimes nice to do at the end of the process as opposed to the beginning of the process.
Okay, I've been there and done that.
And Arian, I just want to throw out a thank you to both of you for all the work to get us where we are today. And I was going to say that back when you said you were aiming for Friday, and we got it this morning, but to both, all the work over the weekend even. Thank you.
Yep, appreciate that.
Thanks, and I apologize. I'm the one that held it up because I was flying around. It wasn't until I got on an airplane Saturday night that I was able to start working on it.
Yikes.
No worries, just a thank you.
It was not the best. The overall schedule was not the best timing for this. okay, so next major heading is division of responsibility. And this is the major section where we make recommendations to the effect that ONC would be better served by defining the overall policy goals and deferring many of the operating details to the RCE in conjunction with the Qualified Health Information Networks, SDOs, and the like. So if we go down to next page.
Read what's at the top of the page. I'm not tracking online. If you could just say the page that starts with.
The page that starts with these cycles of trial, testing, and feedback and revision. We point to the API certification requirements.
Got it.
And fairly successful API functional requirements that led to a fairly rapid cycle of revision, trial testing, feedback, and revision. And so then the first recommendation is ONC and the Trusted Exchange Framework should define policy outcomes and functional requirements, and to the extent possible, refrain from naming particular standards or particular implementation mechanisms. Instead, ONC should charge the RCE in conjunction with the QHINs to evolve through clear milestones involving real-world production use, feedback, and refinement towards name standards, implementation guides, and enabling policies meeting the broad policy goals and functional requirements defined by ONC. If stakeholders do not make clear progress towards defined policy outcomes, ONC should retain the policy levers sufficient to name and direct standards, implementation guides, enabling policies, and other mechanisms to address market failure. So I'm going to pause there.
We'll make sure we add page numbers too.
we actually do have page numbers. I think ONC staff did that on Monday, so really appreciate
oh, good.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, not on my copy.
Yeah,
oh,
the one
okay.
I printed doesn't have any.
Yeah, we'll get there. Okay.
Arian.
Yeah.
It's David. And this is out of sequence, but I don't want to forget it if I don't mention it now, which is it seems like there's another – you're focusing on one very important high-level goal around the difference between policy goals and technology implementations, and we're diving into that. There seemed to be another high-level policy thing that – or a high-level goal that we touched on a number of times, which is sort of the notion of incremental expansion of – permitted purposes and use cases, a modularity or something. Is
we
that
do get
addressed
down,
elsewhere?
Yeah, we do get to that because that was
okay.
One
he
of
got
the detailed,
that.
Detailed
okay.
requests that we had, which is in the permitted purposes section.
Okay, good. I just want to make
these
sure
are,
you know that.
Yeah, exactly. This first section is all the stuff that we asked, we responded to even though we weren't asked to. So ONC should, in areas of broader concern, clearly document key policy outcomes, including those for market or ecosystem development, and establish clear checkpoints for evaluating whether additional restrictions on the QHINs or RCEs need to be established. As examples, see the TEF requirements on QHIN participant neutrality. So this basically says if there are, and participant neutrality was one of the areas that the group had a lot of feedback on, but if there are areas where ONC has concerns about the evolution of the market, and those concerns aren't based on are based on fears that the market will develop in way X versus way Y, that ONC should establish milestones, say, we expect the market to develop in this way, establish market milestones for evaluation, and then use those milestones to course correct and provide interventions if necessary. I'm not sure if that voiceover is clearer than the text that I wrote, but that was the intent of the text.
The voiceover actually helps.
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea to put an example like that as indented underneath this. You know, for example, set a milestone assessing participation by small providers, you know, and expect greater than 80% small providers participation, something like that, where you give an example of what you mean.
Perfect.
And maybe to generalize, this is a recommendation not just about establishing outcomes, but also metrics over the 3 years or whatever the time frame is.
We do have sections describing metrics, but definitely we can talk about market ecosystem development or metrics. We can include that revision. Okay. Next recommendation, ONC should work closely with the RCE and coordinate with other federal actors in areas where policy clarification or coordinated federal action are critical enablers in QHIN success. For example, past actions of ONC and HHS-OCR have been incredibly helpful in providing guidance and interpretation of HIPAA in multiple areas. Coordinating and harmonizing federal information security and identity assurance requirements to commercial standards will be important to enable broad adoption of interoperability by federal actors. So this is a statement saying that in some cases, ONC has a key role to play in streamlining areas of policy, and we're making recommendations that ONC actually actively engage in those areas where ONC can either make critical guidance relating to federal policy or make critical guidance relating to federal actors in areas that help the RCE engage and not have to solve problems, particularly on the RCE. So another way of framing this recommendation is there's a set of activities that the RCE can't do that ONC can do relating to providing guidance in matters of federal policy, both national guidance relating to HIPAA as well as guidance relating to federal actors.
Hey, Arian, this is Aaron Meary. A couple things here. One, I would say potentially I like this paragraph. Maybe add something about states. So it's not just harmonizing federal information security, but federal and state information security, and not just identity assurance, but also privacy, right? So I think just to be very clear, there's a number of discrepancies when you look at the state and federal from that aspect of things. Again, we could reference some of the work that was done by previous task force. And again, to your point, they're brought up here how to go through and deal with HIPAA. Like case in point, the API task force, OCR and ONC brought up that sheet of how does a developer deal with EPHI, right? So maybe you could reference one of those documents as an example.
Yes, we definitely do recommend those documents in the recommendations. We can make another reference there. I'd note that OCR made a really helpful guidance on form and format. I'm not sure I talked about the guidance on form and format. I think I intended to. So we can make that example of the form and format guidance with respect to APIs.
Yep.
Perfect. Arian, David, and I say this slightly in jest, but actually I'm a little bit unsure. The difference between sub-regulatory and guidance, is there enough of a difference to warrant mentioning the notion of sub-regulatory advice?
I, I try to stay away from those areas in any area where I've got to get schooled on regulatory policy. I try to stay away from those areas. Generally, my understanding is sub-regulatory is activities that are contemplated in regulation, whereas guidance is interpretive information that isn't clearly stated in regulation that needs to be done as a sub-regulatory process. But we could say sub-regulatory and guidance. I don't think it would hurt us to be able to do that.
And then
I would throw out, just
to add two other phrases, that safe harbor and moral equivalent of safe harbor that we brought up.
Moral equivalent of safe harbor.
Yep.
Hey, hi, this is Genevieve. Just one note on the sub-regulatory and the guidance. I think the lines between that are actually much, much grayer than perhaps you would think they are. And because of some executive orders and things like that, I would be quite cautious about using that kind of language.
Yep. That's why I try to stay away from those areas.
Yeah. And just one other note that I'm going to toss in there, because I can. I'm just going to take my ONC purview. As you're on this recommendation in particular, just keep in mind the things over which ONC has authority, so versus or even our other federal partners have authority. So particularly when I hear things like state law variation mentioned, please just keep in mind that we don't have an awful lot we can do there. We've had previous efforts like the one with NGA that tried to focus on that. And so in the effort to get recommendations that we can really sink our teeth into, just keep that in mind.
Thanks, Genevieve. I was going to say that myself.
Yeah, and I tend to use the word coordinate because it is the Office of National Coordination. It's clearly in the purview of ONC to coordinate. Just to be clear, it's not in the purview of ONC to direct, for example, OCR policy or CMS policy or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But ONC has in the past been incredibly helpful in working with OCR or working with CMS to make sure that the broader policy goals are met. And Genevieve, I completely agree with you that ONC's also tried pretty hard with states to limit its success.
It would be possible perhaps to include recommendations on how to deal with state variations. If it's a given fact that you can't change, then you have policy that can deal with it.
I think we do have recommendations in those areas that contemplate that there's broad areas of state policy. I think the position that ONC is often in is that ONC can't make a statement that says that you can avoid, for example, Minnesota's requirements on requiring state-based accreditation for a health information network, because ONC is not in a position to provide any guidance related to any area of state law or regulation.
But you could have a policy that suggests state nodes that have legal standing in particular states must follow state rules, and the TEFCA must be able to deal with that. In other words,
I do think we make some of those recommendations. Yes, I do think we make some of those recommendations relating to, for example, consent. And when we get to that section, if there's other feedback that you have there, let's make sure that we get that appropriately captured. All right, now the fun one. Single on-ramp. So our general recommendation with respect to the term single on-ramp is on page 4. So this is in the section defining single on-ramp. The general purpose recommendation is ONC should clearly define the role of the QHIN relative to existing forms of exchange and more clearly define the objectives and scope of quote, a single on-ramp, unquote, with respect to the types and capabilities of exchange anticipated to be provided through that single on-ramp. Then we describe that there were two broad positions, one that basically says this stuff's complicated enough that we should focus, and the other that says this stuff is important enough that we should actually swing and make a big dent. And then we go down and define three subflavors of recommendations that we will tag with either majority and passionate minority or plurality and minority, passionate minority, with respect to these. And it would be nice if we could eliminate at least one of these through some kind of consensus-based process. So let me define the three flavors of recommendation. On the bottom of page 4, recommendation, ONC should clearly define the on-ramp provided by QHINs to be for query-based exchange and access to EHR. ONC should clearly document that only a subset of, can we go to the next page? The needs of the of defined permitted purposes will be served by the QHINs with other needs satisfied by the other HIN. So that's basically the pure play query option. Option 2, ONC should clearly define the on-ramp provided by QHINs to serve underserved high-priority EHI exchange needs regardless of exchange modality. In particular, QHINs should serve needs for public health and coordinated referrals as well as query-based exchange, even when those needs require a unidirectional or bidirectional push exchange. So that's focused mostly on query, but also go into other areas that have that are underserved relative to national priorities. And the third one is another pure play. ONC should clearly define the on-ramp provided by QHINs to be for all forms of EHI exchange, including but not limited to query-based exchange and push-based exchange models, including push to public health, electronic orders and results, electronic prescribing, administrative transactions. Ooh, forgot to mention direct. Oddly, I forgot to mention that.
Under what?
And administrative transactions. Now, for some forms of exchange, this may be an on-ramp only, and for other exchange forms of exchange, it may be a complete exchange solution. So,
Aaron, isn't direct a push model, though?
Direct is a push model.
Yeah, because I think we captured it when we say
push-based
exchange models, and then you give examples of push, which could be direct to public health or
– Yep.
Yeah, because I think you had direct in there, and it wasn't flowing, and I suggested a change, and you made the change and took direct out.
Got it. Okay.
And Arian, are you intending on purpose for these to be so hard-edged? So, for example, recommendation number one is you could say start with query-based exchange, expand based on.
Yeah, I think if we go back up, we're framing this around, can you go back up one page? So we're framing, you'll note the sentence, particularly with respect to the role of the QHIN over the next 3-year period. It might be worthwhile better defining that these tight definitions are really with respect to that 3-year period and to contemplate that beyond the 3-year period, I don't think anybody in the task force was opposed to expanding or broadening the forms of exchange contemplated by the QHINs. This is really around what's the tight priority and where do you focus over the next 3 years. So we'll make sure to add that.
We could put that in the beginning of the recommendation that for the first 3-year period that ONC should focus the definition of on-ramp.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, that would help because people will read, you know, they'll scroll down and read the recommendations only. And
correct, yes, and not read any of the regulatory guidance text.
The prolegomena,
Yeah, exactly. Okay. This is the point where, Cheryl's got her hand up.
Thank you, David. I do agree that we should, talk about having a minimum set, but not specifically what else should be included, because we certainly don't want to limit QHIN's ability to do more. And at the end of the day, we are trying to spur innovation. So if a QHIN is going to be established and they build in the capabilities to do the queries as well as the push model or the direct model, we certainly wouldn't want that to stand in anybody's way.
Good point.
Yeah, and also, especially as I'm still a little bit unclear on how a patient interacts in this network, because in my understanding, most of the HIEs don't have any patient interaction. So, certainly that innovation is going to require potentially something different than what we're currently contemplating.
Perfect. Okay, so let me read back what the two comments that I'm hearing. Number one is we need to be more explicit about we're talking about focus areas for the first 3-year period. Secondly, we want to note that we're not precluding the QHIN from taking on other activities, but that these recommendations are really around what the minimums are for the QHIN.
Right, so like setting a floor.
Yep, exactly.
Perfect.
Okie doke. Any other comments on the frame first before we start to assess where folks line up? And I think we know that, for example, Noam's not on, but we'll count his vote for option 3. Want to be fair to him that I think his opinion is fairly clear. Mark, you have your hand up?
I do. I think this is a framing question, but you tell me if it belongs in the specifics. Any further elaboration about what you mean about in the option 2, serving underserved high-priority exchange needs? How does one decide whether how does our recommendation frame what falls on which side of that line as a minimum?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. This was somewhat hand-waving, but it was intended to follow some of the dialogue that we had where I think many people acknowledged that information exchange for coordinated referrals or information exchange for public health was underserved and that it might be appropriate for QHINs to take on the role of being a single on-ramp for those organizations. In terms mm-hmm. of what the criteria are for defining high priority underserved, beyond coming up with the language or the equivalent language of high priority underserved, I'm not sure that I have any particular opinion about how to define that. But
okay.
I think there's a sort of obscenity definition version of this that I think everyone would acknowledge that administrative transactions are pretty well served. There's a lot of evidence around unsolicited results, for example, getting into EHRs. There's a fair market around HISPs where it's not clear that adding other market actors to HISPs would change the dynamics considerably. And then I think there are other areas that are less well served. And I think the critical question about that is what's the overlap between national priority and not as well served? That, I'll go back to my earlier admission that it's basically hand waving.
Okay, Arian, thank you.
Another framing question. I mean, an alternate way to think about this might be to prioritize the permitted purposes and use cases. And then say these are the sequence that the group thinks should be addressed at whatever pace they can get to, and knowing that in the first 3 years you're not going to get terribly deep into that list, but you at least have the prioritization.
We do make recommendations later on, or we make draft recommendations later on relative to prioritizing permitted purposes, but the problem with that when I was putting together some of the verbiage here is that to say that public health is a high priority permitted purpose doesn't address the question of exchange modality.
Well, but you could break it out. You could say, support public health query for immunization status via the federated query, high priority.
Yep.
Push of notice of communicable diseases, low priority.
I don't think we'll be in a position to be able to make those detailed recommendations, but it's definitely one way to frame it.
I think the RCE might really have to have that work through that.
Yeah, that's okay, where
We got two other hands in the queue, so I want to make sure that we prioritize people who are quietly raising their hand. John, and then Sasha, and then Mark again.
Thanks, this is John. And just because it sounds like we're headed for a vote, I don't want to belabor this, but I also don't want to not understand. If I characterize recommendation one as focus on at least start with query, meaning limit, and the number three, the NOAM option, is kitchen sink, then is number two kind of in the middle in terms of acknowledging unidirectional, bidirectional push exchange as an additional thing you need to be capable of, and pointing those or selecting high priority stuff to be named? I mean, it's sort of in between.
Yeah. So again, number one, let's acknowledge that I think the sense of the task force, unless there's violent objection to this, is that what we're talking about is three-year priority and floor, not long-term priority and limitations. But I think you've got the sense right that option one is three-year priority, set the floor at addressing query-based exchange versus three-year priority, set the floor on query-based exchange and other high-priority use cases to be named, including the two examples, public health and coordinated referral.
Thank you.
Yep. Sasha.
Go ahead,
yeah.
Sasha.
Oh, so this is Sasha, and perhaps my question will be partially addressed later in the document as well, but while I'm a strong, I guess, believer that we have to very judiciously prioritize work for the next 3 years and won't be able to accomplish all of our ambitions in that time, I'm also wondering how this ties into the conversation we started on our previous call about sustainability, because I think that for some stakeholders in the Trusted Exchange framework, one of the sort of return on investment goals they would have would be to access the, you know, single on-ramp concept in some sense and be able to eliminate other streams of interoperability that currently exist in favor of sort of prioritizing this investment in their technology and in their exchange
yep.
systems. And so is there a separate conversation about sustainability that I should sort of save that thought for and keep prioritization here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a really good call out. And again, I would point back to the notion that what we're acknowledging, and we'll make sure the language is clear in each of these options, is that we're really talking about a three-year priority and floor, and acknowledging, and we should put some framing language in that acknowledges that EHR developers and QHINs may well be able to serve broader market needs by establishing a true single on-ramp. There are discussions at sustainability that do not currently go to the level of detail that you're talking about. So I think it's hard to say that question is not addressed currently in the set of recommendations or in the document itself.
Maybe a placeholder for us to further discuss. I do think if we were making a set of recommendations, we will want to feel that the recommendations we put forward will lead to a sustainable model.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing very clearly is we need to make it clear. I've just used clear twice. What I'm hearing is that we need to make it very clear that our recommendations are with respect to priority and floor, and that we do not intend to limit options for EHR developers or for QHINs that wish to establish single on-ramps for other exchange modalities, regardless of which of these options we select.
Limit the QHINs or RCE.
Yeah, that's right. Mark and then Carolyn. And then we got to go to vote because we don't have much time.
Just checking my current understanding of the draft, the draft from ONC, there is no prioritization of permitted purposes, right? They're all six just laid out there.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be stacked. Okay. Thank you.
And we're making recommendations for prioritization of permitted purposes. The current test.
Okay. I haven't gotten that far in your draft, but I'll look forward to seeing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. And then Carolyn.
Thanks, Arian. My question about clarification has to do with requests initiated by patients and this question of bidirectional. I see bidirectional in the second, but not in the first or the third, and I didn't really see patient-initiated queries anyplace. Can you clarify which would go where?
Yeah, so the definition of bidirectional in that case was bidirectional push. So that was really specific to the notion of, for example, a coordinated referral where you might push one direction and then get a push back. We make recommendations in this current draft recommending the role of the patient and the individual, as well as the role of the individual as a query, a source of data, as well as the patient as a query initiator. So that notion of bidirectional is not limited here. This is really around focusing on query versus focusing on push, and as a subset of focusing on query and push, the notion that you might want to focus on orchestrated push or bidirectional push.
All right, thank you.
Yep. All right. Mark?
So, Arian, just to more specifically on that question, does this address at any point patient-generated health data as one bidirectional use case?
It does. I have to admit that I did not use the word patient-generated health data in the draft, but we do have language relating to patients as a source of data. And when we get to that section, let's make sure that we get the comment in that we need to clearly indicate the sense of the task force that patient-generated health data should be a query source. All right. How should we do the voting? How many people do we have 31 participants, but not all 31 are authorized to vote.
We could just do each option and raise a hand.
Yeah, okay, let's
do
it that way.
Or a roll call and just ask one, two, or three.
Yeah, let's do it that way. Thank you, yes. Lauren, can we do a roll call and then we'll treat Noam as voting for option three, but otherwise do a roll call and have respondents ask, say, one, two, or three. Thank you, Mark. That's super helpful.
Okay, great. We'll just start here at the top, starting with Denise.
One.
Arian.
One.
Carolyn. Carolyn, option one, two, or three?
Oh, sorry. Option two, please.
Got it. Arian.
Option one, please.
John?
One.
Okay. Cheryl?
Three.
Sasha?
One.
Steve?
One, please.
Cynthia? Do you have Cynthia on the line? I think her admin. We'll come back to Cynthia. Anil?
Option one, please.
Okay. And Kate is absent. Just checking in, did Andrew dial in by chance? No, Andrew? David?
One, please.
Mark?
Three.
Okay. And we have Noam as a three, and we don't have Grace on the line. Okay.
Okay. Let's get additional votes from folks who weren't able to attend. So before we prematurely declare a majority opinion, I think it's important to make sure that we get the full sense of the task force.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, what is your totals for each option now?
Let's see. For the ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. You have 8 ones. 1, 2, and 3 threes.
Okay.
And how many members of the task force are there?
Total or on the call today?
Total.
Total.
16.
Okay. So I think we're...
We have four more votes.
Yeah.
Go. Yeah. Okay. So we don't yet have a 50% plus one, but we're pretty close with four more votes to go. Okay, good. Well, we got a few more minutes, so why don't we go until, Lauren, with your permission, go until 11:55. Okay. Let's go down to the next page. All right. Now we start our recommendations relating to the recognized coordinating entity. There's a lot here. So number one is we note that the task force believes ONC should defer and assign many of the operating decisions and detailed guidance for overall architecture and orchestration standards, interoperability guidance, profiles, and metrics to the RCE, working in conjunction with the QHINs. Accordingly, the RCE should have strong capabilities in healthcare interoperability. The task force believes the RCE should be broadly trusted, above reproach, transparent, and open. Governance of the RCE should represent a broad range of perspectives, including the patient, and not be overly weighted towards large health systems, federal providers, users of particular health IT, a particular QHIN or set of QHINs, and should have sufficient protection against activities that would lead to or be perceived as leading to conflict. At the same time, the task force believes the likely sustainability model for the RCE is through dues paid by the QHINs, who should therefore have a fiduciary oversight role for the RCE. The task force believes the RCE role may not match exactly any of the existing governance actors, and that the RCE selected by ONC may represent a merged or reconfigured version of one or more established actors. So I'm going to just pause there. That's not recommendation. It's surrounding text, but there's a lot there. So I just want to see if there's any feedback. Mark, do you have your – is that your hand up from previously, or is that your hand up on this stuff?
Both. So I do have a comment here, but you're seeing the raised hand from previously. What I would say is I like the sense of things, and I think in addition we have support in the analysis. What webinar was it? Maybe it was the first one in July, where sort of looking at many of the different existing structures and finding that they covered some but not everything, and sort of the compare and contrast.
Yep.
I think
That's the intent of this last sentence here, that the RCA role may not match exactly any of the existing governance actors, and the RCA selected by the ONC may represent a merged or reconfigured version of one or more of the established actors. It's clearly not our role to select the RCE, nor is it, our role to point out any particular RCE actors and make commentary on them, but I do think it represents the sense of the task force that it wasn't the sense of the task force that this was a gimme, and that it might be helpful for the RCEs to skate to where the puck's going.
Agreed. I just wanted to lift that gap analysis up because I think it's pretty important.
Okay. Fair point. Okay. The recommendation here is ONC should establish eligibility criteria for the RCE requiring not-for-public status, a clear sustainability model, and a governance model that balances responsibility between the national interests and the dues-paying members of the RCE. The governance model for the RCE should represent a broad range of providers' perspectives. Keeping in mind the definition of provider relevant to 21st Century Cures Act is broad and expansive, as well as the patient perspective. The governance model for the RCE should deliver transparency, protect against governance, or board configurations and operating models that could lead, next page, lead to or be perceived as leading to conflict. And particularly, the RCE governance should not be weighted towards or against particular segments of the provider community, e.g. large or federal providers, health IT vendors, particular QHINs, et cetera.
Arian, this is Aaron. Question for you. Is there somebody we could reference at the federal government, maybe another sector that's already doing something very similar? I'm thinking of like Aaron or some other group out there that's not for profit that holds sort of that collective status. We can just reference them as an example.
I don't think it's appropriate. So my stance would be I do not think it would be appropriate to call out particular RCE actors. I think the sense from what I've heard from the community is that many community members, frankly, have their favorites that they lean to. And I think it would be inappropriate for the task force to make particular recommendations in this area. If the task force believes that it would be appropriate to name a range of actors that are out there and that would be helpful for ONC, I'm willing to bend. I'm pretty sure that ONC knows who the actors are right now and doesn't
sure,
really
sorry, sorry. My question, I'm sorry, maybe I wasn't clear. I meant outside of healthcare for something totally separate in terms of governance. So you're talking, you know, makeup of multi-constituents, multi-stakeholders from a governance perspective. I mean, are there other groups outside of healthcare that have nothing to do with this, but maybe serve as a model to look at and frame against? I didn't mean to say so-and-so is the best of the world.
Understood. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. If there's good examples for that that people could submit, maybe we can take that up next time.
I went looking and didn't find any obvious examples, but I didn't look far enough.
Yeah.
NTSB was one that kind of.
Yeah, something like that, right.
Yeah. NTSB is a good one.
Except it's part of FAA,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
UL Laboratories.
UL is a good one. Yeah. All right. Any other comments on this section before we go into the next recommendation? I think that let's just say the next recommendation, see if there's major conflict here. So ONC should require the RC as it works on standards implementation guidance profiles and other enabling material to make such material open to the public without restrictions on use or reuse except as necessary to enforce certification marks or other proof of QHIN compliance with RC defined requirements. So basically, this is responding to some of the task force commentary that the work of the RCE should be open. In some cases, it's important to maintain trademarks or branding marks for certification, so you can only carry this mark if you accord with blah, 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 blah. But to any other extent possible, any of the material should be open content licensed and be broadly available. I'll just pause to see if this is a objectionable point. It does reflect some of the commentary that the task force had.
Arian, it's David. I certainly don't have any objections to that point, but on the prior topic, I noticed there's no commentary about the integration between RCE and ONC. And is it worth mentioning that? For example, should RCE automatically include OCE? ONC as in its governance structure or something like that, or is that just maybe way outside our scope?
I would think that's way outside our scope unless we think it's super important to say either ONC should or ONC shouldn't.
Yeah, well, I think it's a should. So
I think it's a should as well. Yeah. All right.
Maybe a list, you know, including ONC representation or something like that in that list of stakeholders.
I'll make that edit. Okay, let's go to public comment.
Great, thanks, Arian. Operator, can you please open the public line?
Certainly. If you would like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue, and you may press *2 if you'd like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Again, that is *1.
Thank you. And as a reminder, we ask all public comments to be kept to no longer than 3 minutes. Operator, do we have any comments in the queue at this point?
None at this time.
Awesome. So we got a Wednesday call and then a Friday call. I'd ask task force members, please feel free to as you read the document, submit editing comments. Misplaced periods, commas, language that's unclear via revision and track changes, submit substantive comment via email comment so that we can consolidate it and address it during the next task force meetings. And we've got two more to go. We're actually making reasonable headway through the recommendations. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we're going to be able to make it all the way through with to have a finalized set of recommendations. I'd note that it is important for us to have a finalized set of recommendations for the HITAC meeting because ONC does need time to respond to our recommendations and incorporate them or not appropriately into the next revision of the TEF. So we might feel like the process that we've got is impossible. At the same time, I think there's a lot of benefits for putting out the best recommendations that we can and helping to inform ONC's decision making. So with that, we'll maybe end a little bit early and come back fresh and energized for Wednesday and Friday. And again, the more people read the documents ahead of time and provide meta commentary, including some of the stuff that we've already gone over, the more helpful it will be. I'll try to take these recommendations and put out another draft, putting it past Denise and ONC staff first before we go out to the full task force. So if possible, we'll get another version out that hopefully responds to the sense of the task force in this meeting. And then, Lauren, I think we're going to ask the members of the task force who weren't on and whose votes weren't recorded what their votes are. Is that right?
And Arianne, this is Denise, and just one comment to the task force. I wouldn't wait for the next draft before you start working on your
please.
Comments, please.
Yes. Vote early and often.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Thank
All right,
you.
Bye-bye.